This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You know we are. We love to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live. Love having that holy conversation with you Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station, discussing, as always, issues important to your life and your faith. Let's start off by giving you that number this morning. I'm really, really excited to give you that number, hoping that you're going to be excited to pick up the phone and give us a call. This is a toll-free number for you if you're here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Charles Beery on the phones. He is eager to hear from you too. And let me tell you what, you make him very happy when you call in. So why not bring joy into his life today and pick up the phone and give us a call? Yeah, again, that number is 833-288-EWTN. We're also available for you out there. If you are not in North America, that number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. And if you would prefer to get your message to us via social media, I want to send you out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. All you have to do is use the chat feature there, and you put your question or comment in there, and Jeff Burson will go out, and he'll get it, and he'll put it up on the board. Jeff is our social media manager as well as our producer. So looking forward to hearing from you today and eager to see what's going on in your world. I want to tell you a little bit about the Women of Grace world. Lots of things going on at Women of Grace, so I'm inviting you to go out to our website, womenofgrace.com. We have some upcoming events, and I'm looking forward to being with all of you there in San Antonio, Texas. I sure am. It begins on September the 16th with the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Leading Like the Lady is the theme of that seminar. I will be presenting it. We're going to have a wonderful day and a half together, ladies. That's all I want to say. It starts on Thursday, September the 16th. It runs through, you know, like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, so that you have time to get ready for the retreat. But it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. I know that this particular theme is an important one. It helps for us to understand who we are as the daughters of the Most High God and to walk in that reality and to walk in our giftedness, right? God has a big plan for his daughters today, and we uncover that plan and talk about that plan and see how it is that we can be part of that plan and that plan can be part of us. So I'm inviting you to attend that beautiful Benedicta Enrichment Seminar in San Antonio, Texas at Our Lady of the Atonement Catholic Church, September the 16th. So mark your calendars for that. The very next day is the beginning of the weekend retreat, and that starts September the 17th. And the theme for that retreat is Made for Joy, the Call and Gift of the Catholic Woman. So it, you know, just fits very nicely into the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Now, these are two separate events. I'm inviting you to join us for both of them, of course, but you can join us for the Enrichment Seminar by itself or the retreat by itself. All of the information is available for you out there at womenofgrace.com. Additionally, on the 18th, running simultaneous on that Saturday with the Adult Women's Retreat, is a Young Women of Grace retreat in San Antonio, and it is going to be just splendid for these young women to come. And, you know, often we're asked, well, what age group does this pertain to? And I always like to say, well, you know, I think that you can bring your daughters maybe as young as 12, if they're a mature 12, 12, 13, but on up through high school, and generally speaking, we get a nice demographic, a nice mix, and the girls work very beautifully together, and it's a lovely time for them. It's replete with activities, talks, interaction with each other. The girls love it. They just absolutely love it. So there is a whole compliment going on there at Our Lady of the Atonement Catholic Church there in San Antonio, Texas, beginning on September 16th, ending the evening September the 18th with a healing service. You can read all about the speakers coming. I'm going to be there. Melissa Molesky is going to be there. We want you to be there. So go out and check our website. Additionally, then, in October, October, we're going to be in Hollywood, Florida, we are. And it's going to be a beautiful time there, too. Benedict Enrichment Seminar, again, I'm leading it. It's the same theme, Leading Like the Lady. That is October the 21st. The 23rd is our conference, our one-day conference. It's a one-day conference. Faith, Fortitude, and Femininity, a formula for such a time as this. I got to tell you what, you know, that makes a really good book title, doesn't it? Faith, Fortitude, and Femininity, a formula for such a time as this. And we want you to join us there at Nativity Catholic Church in Hollywood, Florida, beginning October the 21st. And we are also going to be having a Young Women of Grace retreat there as well. So all of the information's at the website, womenofgrace.com. Simply get out there. You're going to see it listed right on the homepage. You're going to see it for you there in the slideshow. They're all hyperlinks. They'll take you to a landing page. It'll give you, you know, more insight. It'll give you talk titles and all of that kind of good stuff. It'll give you an opportunity to register there too. So don't be late in registering, because we have limited space at both, in both places, both at Our Lady of the Atonement Catholic Church as well as Nativity Catholic Church. So we don't want you to get shut out, and these things fill up pretty quickly. So I am inviting you to get out there, read about it now. If you're in San Antonio, it's not a big decision for you, because, you know, it's going to be something that's coming up sooner than later, and you're going to want to get in. So I'm inviting you to do so. Get on out there, read all about it. Well, here we are. Do you believe it? I mean, here we are, and we are to the next to the last day in the month of July. We're not going to be together tomorrow. So you and I together are closing out our time via this program to be together in this month. And we have been looking at the most precious blood of Jesus throughout the course of this month. Why? Because Holy Mother Church dedicates the month of July to the most precious blood of Jesus. And the last 2 days, we have been praying aspects, certain parts of the litany of the most precious blood of Jesus. And before we go to the break, I would like to have the opportunity to close out that litany with you. So we're going to pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I say, Lord, have mercy. You say, Lord, have mercy. I say, Christ, have mercy. You say, Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, hear us. Jesus, graciously hear us. And now you say, save us, after each of these invocations here. And we pray, blood of Christ, solace in our sorrow, save us. Blood of Christ, hope of the penitent, save us. Blood of Christ, consolation of the dying, save us. Blood of Christ, peace and tenderness of hearts, save us. Blood of Christ, pledge of eternal life, save us. Blood of Christ, freeing souls from purgatory, save us. Blood of Christ, most worthy of all glory and honor, save us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the response is, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, O Lord. You have redeemed us, O Lord, in your blood, and made us for our God a kingdom. Let us pray, Almighty and Eternal God, you have appointed your only begotten Son, the Redeemer of the world, and willed to be appeased by his blood. Grant, we beg of you, that we may worthily adore this price of our salvation. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Coming right back. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, we are back with you right here, and delighted to be so. Let me give you that number to use. It is toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone, give us a call. Just punch those numbers in. You'll be connected to us. Charles Beery will take your call. He'll get your information up on the board for me so I can address what your concerns might be today, or we can simply have some pleasant conversation together about things that are most important. And what would that be? It would be our life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So do give us a call. That's 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio, let me say that again, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there, and our social media manager and our producer, Jeff Burson, will go on out there, and he will retrieve your questions or your comments, and he'll put them up the board, and we'll be able to address those as well. If you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, do let us know. I like to ring my first-time caller and submitter bell for you to welcome you to Women of Grace for your premiere, interaction with us on the air. How's that? So certainly do hope that you'll let us know all about that. 833-288-EWTN. Do want to let you know that today at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, our television program is a live show. It's a one-hour live show every Friday. We're looking forward to being with you there, too, today. And I've got a great guest lined up. Her name is Samantha Kelly. Had her on some time ago, along with her friend Angela Schneider. And these are two very dynamic young women. And they work with athletes primarily. And Samantha Kelly has an organization called Fierce, F-I-E-R-C-E, Fierce Athlete. And, you know, this is a very important outreach. It is an outreach that helps to promote true femininity in sports. Samantha herself was a Division I soccer player for University of Connecticut. She does rowing competitions as well. And she believes that this is a very important mission. I got to tell you, I believe it is a very important mission too. So, you know, what they are interested in is helping young women to understand the way in which their authentic femininity can be expressed through the sports that they play. And here is the mission statement. She says, at Fierce Athlete, we envision a world in which every female athlete knows her identity in Christ and lives a full integrated life. And what does Fierce stand for? It's an acronym for femininity, identity, embodiment, receptivity, Catholicism, and encounter. And she says that along with athlete, that makes up the foundation of who Fierce Athlete is and what it's all about and what they believe female athletes are being called to live out in their lives and in their sports. So it's an important conversation just given what's happening, you know, right now with female sports, right? We're facing things that nobody ever thought would occur within the dimension of that category of sporting in general, with a particular emphasis here on female sports, female athletes. So I think it's going to be a great show. We're going to be taking your phone calls there today on our live show. So I want you to set yourself up to watch it. That's 1 p.m. Eastern time today. Samantha Kelly, our guest, founder and president of Fierce Athlete. 833-288-EWTN. That's the way you can join us today. That's 833-288-3986. And we're looking forward to hearing from you this moment. So pick up the phone and give us a call. I know, Jeff, we have a lot of listener comment calls that we haven't gotten to. This is a good time for us to take one or two of those. So let's go for the first one you've got there.
Yes, this is Vernon from Princeton, West Virginia. How do I get back in the spirit of God loving me? Because I feel like with every trial of every day, I've been forgotten.
Well, you know, thank you for calling. And I don't think that you're alone in feeling this way. We often have those moments where we feel that we are abandoned by God. We often have those moments where we feel as though perhaps He doesn't see us, doesn't know us. But all of this is a ruse, R-U-S-E. It's a ruse of the evil one. He is trying to take us at a moment when we are most vulnerable and insinuate into our minds and hearts doubt about God. And as soon as we feel that kind of an emotion coming on, as soon as we begin to experience that first taste of abandonment, we know that we are in a mighty battle. I always find consolation in thinking about our Lord as He's hanging upon that cross. And He cries out to His Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we know that that comes from one of the Psalms. But in that moment, Jesus, in His humanity, felt bereft of the Father's presence. The pain, the suffering, the weight of the burden, all of that mixed together made Him feel as if God, His Father, was no longer with him. He cries that out. And I think that that moment takes place in his passion just to meet you, my dear friend in Christ, right exactly where you are now, in your sense of forsakenness, in your sense of abandonment, perhaps in your sense of rejection. And our Lord, by showing us this aspect of humanity, reminds us of the fact that he is also the Lamb who was slain. That slaying, of course, opens up heaven's gate. It brings us redemption. But in addition to that, every aspect of Christ's passion, every aspect of it, every suffering, every drop of blood that was shed, every kind of emotional a poverty that he felt at any given moment during that passion, won for us grace that we might be able to call upon in similar moments to his experience of that moment in his passion. So when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He saw you. He saw you in that very moment that you're expressing right now. He saw you in that moment of serious temptation, incited by the evil one, serious doubt, encouraged by the demonic. He saw that moment. And in his crying out to the Father, he won that grace for you to be applied to this very moment at the height of your forsakenness or sense of it, at the height of your sense of abandonment, at the height of your sense of rejection. Our God is always with us. He wants us to know that, and he wants us to see that he's always with us. And sometimes he allows this darkness just so that we can see the brightness and the radiance of his presence. If we don't experience the poverty, we don't experience the treasure. If we don't experience the thirst, we don't experience the quenching. If we don't experience the hunger, we don't experience the satisfaction. So God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But his ways are always oriented to our best good. And not just his thoughts, but his eyes are always upon us, are always with us. So what do we do? What do we do in those moments of feeling forsaken? What do we do in those moments of abandonment? What do we do in those moments when we feel completely isolated, set apart, rejected? I think that in faith, we acknowledge the presence of God. I think that we utter a prayer, a cry from our own heart, just as our Lord Jesus Christ did from the cross. We cry out to him. We say to him, my God, I feel forsaken by you. I feel abandonment and rejection. I relate to this moment that your son experienced upon his cross, but I know in faith that in that experience, he was providing grace for me in this moment. And so I call down that grace upon me in this moment, Lord God. I reach out, I lay hold of it through an action of faith, a prophetic move. There's something about movement. There's something about posture. It's very important, very, very important. We are body, soul, composite, and what we do with our body matters. It has a direct effect upon our soul. And so, you know, we reach out, you know, maybe even in that prayer, we lift our hand to God and we grasp, we reach out, we take that grace, yeah, through this prophetic gesture, and we hold it close to our heart and say, imbue me with the knowledge of your presence now, Lord. And then the very next thing we do is we begin to thank and praise the Lord. We begin to know, we begin to act upon that which we know by faith. We act upon that which we know by faith. We know by faith that God is with us, that our emotions are not the predictor of reality. Our emotions, we can sample them, but our emotions are not predictors of what God is about in our lives. Sometimes our emotions get it wrong. Anybody out there ever have an emotion that was saying one thing and reality was another? Oh, I'm lifting my hand high. I think we've all experienced that. So what we do then, you see, in these moments is we acknowledge that indeed the grace is with us, whether we feel it or not. Indeed, God's presence is with us, whether we feel it or not. Indeed, God, Emmanuel, sees us and abides beside us and with us, whether we experience it in the emotions or not. And then, as an act of faith, as an act of trust, acting upon that knowledge that we have by way of faith, we cry out to God, thanksgiving and praise. I thank you, Lord. I praise you that you are with me. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that even though I don't feel your presence, I know by faith you're here. I call out upon you in this moment with glad tidings, Lord. I praise you and thank you that you are abundantly available to me 24/7, Lord. And we sing our praises to the Lord. And you know, what begins to happen there is that spirit of abandonment, that spirit of forsakenness, that spirit of rejection that has been tormenting us and tempting us flees, because it cannot stay there. It cannot stand up under praise of God. It absolutely cannot stand up under praise of God. And this renders us then more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You see, this is one of the weapons that we have in these moments. Life is tough. Life is tough. It's supposed to be tough because this is our proving ground. This is our testing ground. This is where we grow in our faith and our union with God. And anytime we set out to be united with him more deeply, we know we're in for a battle because the evil one wants to hold us back. He wants to take us captive. But we indeed have the weaponry of the Spirit to be able to combat that assault that is being waged against us. And I dare say the closer you get to God, sometimes the greater the battle rages. But you see, what happens is you know the battle now. You know how to fight that war. And I've just given you some really good insight on the weaponry that you have at your disposal. So first, what? You know this is an emotion. Secondly, you know that God tells us he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is always there with us, right? So we know that this emotion is not telling the truth. We know that the evil one sees us as vulnerable and he is pushing on that emotion. So we know that, we acknowledge that. Then we acknowledge the truth in the form of prayer, crying out to God, telling him how we feel, but also telling him that we know that he's with us. And then we end with thanksgiving and praise of the Father for being abundantly available to us. And I hope that helps you today. I started a beautiful reading yesterday with you that comes from Isaiah, and it's chapter 43. And here's what the Lord is saying, and he's saying this to you right now, every single one of us. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. Hear those words. When you pass through the water, I will be with you, says the Lord. In the rivers, you shall not drown. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom. Then he goes on again and he says, you are precious in my eyes and glorious. You are precious in my eyes. What is that saying to you right now? It's telling you that God sees you. He's beholding you right this moment and he finds you precious. His eyes are upon you. Otherwise, he would not see your preciousness. He says, because you are precious in my eyes and glorious, and because I love you, fear not, for I am with you. From the east, I will bring back your descendants He goes on, everyone who is named is mine, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out the people who are blind, though they have eyes, who are deaf, though they have ears. He goes on, and he says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, my servants whom I have chosen to know and believe in me and understand that it is I. Before me no God was formed, and after me there shall be none. It is I, the Lord, there is no Savior but me. It is I who foretold, I who saved, I made it known. He goes on, and he says this, listen to this, verse 18 of Isaiah 43, remember not the events of the past, remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Sometimes the Lord lets us experience the desert, because in that desert experience, we open ourselves more to him. He helps us to see our need for him. Our receptivity heightens. And then what does he do? He does something new. He takes us out of that desert and puts us in the promised land. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland rivers, wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches, for I put water in the desert. He's watering the desert of your heart right now, that place of abandonment, that place of rejection, that place of forsakenness. God is coming now, and he's watering it. He's watering it. Things will grow from that desert experience. For I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I form for myself, that they might announce my praise. See, when we praise God, we're announcing him. God inhabits the praises of his people, it says in Scripture, right? So he's coming alongside of you right now. He's coming and he's filling you with his own divine life. Yet you did not call upon me. So he says, you know, don't grow weary of me. Don't grow weary of me. I am doing all of this for you, says the Lord. And he has abundant graces, abundant blessings in mind for you. So there is no reason to allow the evil one to thwart our efforts or to discourage us through leaning on an emotion, right? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So we know he's with us. We thank him for being with us. We praise his holy name for all of what he's going to do, all of what he has been doing, and all of what we are currently experiencing. Going to be right back with you after the break, inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy you're with us today, and I'm eager for you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I want to continue to talk with you a little bit here. Looking forward to your calls, of course, so please do call in. Again, it's 833-288-EWTN. Or out there on social media. I know there's a lot of you out there on social media. If you have a question, please use the chat feature there to get it up on the board. But I think that this is an important topic that our caller spoke about, you know, that there are those times when we really feel abandoned, we feel rejected. We're living in a very contentious time. There's a lot of serious issues that are going on out there. And a lot of these issues are issues that directly affect us and that we have to contend with on a daily basis. And, you know, it's like, Jesus, why don't you just hurry up and come back? I mean, do you ever think about that? I do. It's like, Lord, when are you going to come? I mean, it's getting really bad. When are you going to come, Jesus? It isn't his time to come yet. We know that because some of the signs, some of the circumstances that have to take place prior to his coming that are given to us in sacred scripture haven't happened yet. So this is a time, but it is a time that I think some of the greatest saints are going to be raised up. I think that because St. Louis de Montfort says that in his treatise on true devotion. And he says, you know, that some of the greatest saints who have ever been will be in the latter days. And these are the latter days. This is not the end times, but it's the latter days. We know that because it's been the latter days since the ascension of our Lord into heaven. It's just later now than it was then. So the fact of the matter is we are in these latter days and it's going to get dark. It's going to get pesky. And I have often thought in relation to what St. Louis de Montfort says there, when he talks about the greatest saints being raised up at that time, why are we going to need the greatest saints to be raised raised up at that time, because the temptation is going to be so great. The world is going to be so wicked. The assault against the people of God is going to be tremendous. It's going to be a time where it's going to require that valor, that holiness, that strength and perseverance that marks a saint. Right? So, you know, when we have trials in our life, when we are facing difficulties and struggles in our own personal life, it's kind of like a boot camp for us. It's kind of like a training ground. You know, God entrusts to us these problems because it's there that we have the opportunity to grow in virtue, for our virtue to be strengthened within us. And without that, it's not going to happen. So he does entrust us portions of the cross. And he does, you know, he doesn't cause the stuff to happen. It just happens. Because we live in a broken and fallen world. But maybe right now you're feeling the same way our caller was feeling, that there's just too much. There's too much to deal with, and that God's abandoned you. He's forsaken you every day. It's an effort to get out of bed, maybe, to strap on that armor of God and to go out there and to face, you know, another Goliath. Maybe you feel that way. And maybe that was just a whole lot of things that was going on, is going on in your life, a whole lot of things going on in your life. So the fact of the matter is, we need that encouragement. And this is why getting into the Word of God, getting into sacred scripture is such a good thing. Let me just read to you this passage. This is from St. John's Gospel, and it's in chapter 16. Let me read this. It says this, and you can take this. I mean, you know, the apostles here are talking about Jesus is definitely going to be out of their sight, right? They've had the privilege, the honor, and the blessing of walking with Jesus, interacting with Jesus, being with Jesus every day in the flesh, right? And Jesus is telling them, you know, that he's going to be leaving them. In chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says, "Within a short time, you will lose sight of me. But soon after that, you shall see me again." And so this goes on. And at that point, some of his disciples asked one another, right, St. John, "What can he mean, within a short time you will lose sight of me, but soon after that you will see me? And did he not say that he is going back to the Father?" Well, let me just say this about that. Yes, the apostles are talking about they're going to lose sight of Jesus physically. But there's times in our own life when we can relate to the apostles, right? We can relate to it. And Jesus is gone from us. We don't feel his presence. We don't perceive him. We might even have a certain type of spiritual blindness where we cannot see his interaction with us, right? But what does Jesus say? "Okay, for a while I've hidden myself from you," and I'm going to add this, "so that you might grow in virtue, so that you might grow in faith of me, but you will see me again really soon." So in those moments when we can't see Jesus, in those moments when our eyes are shrouded by darkness, in those moments when our emotions, are certainly not being filled with a sense of him, right? Take heart. Take heart. You might be in a period of desolation here that is causing you to grow, but when Jesus comes back, you're going to feel him even more abundantly than you did before you sensed the lack of his presence. He's not away from you. He's just not revealing himself to you in that moment because he's calling you to something new. I have always found in my own personal journey, in my own spiritual life, when I did not feel the presence of Jesus, I always knew when I was having a desert experience that there was something new on the horizon for me, that the Lord was really leading me into a deeper relationship, a deeper union with him. And when I came out of the desert, there would be something new, something more dynamic in my relationship with him and also in my ministry, that he was raising something up. You know, suffering always precedes, you know, this distribution of grace, this great distribution of grace. It was the suffering of our Lord, his passion and his death, right, that preceded that redemptive grace that flowed down Calvary's hill throughout all of time to you right this very moment. And then goes on, Jesus goes on, and he says this, because he's aware of what the disciples are saying to each other. He says this, "You are asking one another about my saying, 'Within a short time you will lose sight of me, but soon after that you will see me.' And he says this, 'I tell you truly, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve for a time, but your grief will be turned to joy.'" You might be suffering now. You might be grieving this lack of a sense of me right this very moment, says the Lord. but your grief will be turned to joy. When a woman is in labor, she is sad that her time has come. When she has borne her child, she no longer remembers her pain. That's true. For joy that a man has been born into the world. In the same way, you are sad for a time, but I shall see you again. Then your hearts will rejoice with a joy that no one can take from you. Why will nobody be able to take it from you? Because now you will have this segment of your life as part of your salvation history. The Lord felt far from me, but then I felt the Lord's presence again. So the next time the Lord feels far from me, I know he is not far from me, and I will soon feel his presence, experience his presence, move in his presence again, right? And during that time of desolation, in faith, we walk, you know, what does it say? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by the sight of him in the sense of feeling his presence or even seeing his works being manifested around us. You know, sometimes he's really just protecting our humility. Let me read this to you. Jesus says later on, and he says this in chapter 16, verse 33 of St. John's Gospel. I tell you all this. Why is he revealing this to the apostles? Why is it he revealing this to you today? I tell you all this I tell you all this that in me you may find peace. You will suffer in the world, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So there you have it. Every reason to have faith and hope and trust in God, no matter what the circumstance is in your life, God is with you. Do not let the evil one tempt you to think he is not. Do not be a doubter of God as Eve was a doubter of God in the garden. That has the hoofprints of Satan all over it. And you know it's him when he's stirring up these emotions. And what do? You rise up against it. You rise up against it because you're walking by faith, not by sight. You rise up against it because the fullness of heaven is with you, whether you feel the fullness of heaven or not. Jeff, do we have another call there?
My name is Christy. I'm in Mariposa. My son was paralyzed, and he's asking if he should just fake being happy and fake smiling, or if he should allow his incredible distress and sorrow to show and be expressed. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling and asking this question. And I am very, very sad to hear about the state and condition that he's in. Physically, yes, but also interiorly, and maybe even more so interiorly. Because this is the place, this is the habitat of God, you know, our interiority. This is where we meet him, on the altar of our heart. And it's an interesting question that's phrased here. First, the first saint that comes into my mind as I'm thinking about this question is Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And she was in a spiritual darkness for 45 years. For 45 years, she felt forsaken by God. She was in misery. And yet we never knew that. We never found that out until after she had been given her eternal reward. Her biographer told us about this dark night of the soul that she experienced for all of those years. Why didn't we know it? We didn't know it because she smiled. Now, was that a rejection of her misery in the sense like she was trying to, in some psychological way, deny it or repress it? I don't think so. I think that what she was doing in those moments was that she was offering her interior misery in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. She was on that cross with him mystically in that moment when he cried out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And she was there as a servant and helpmate to him, consoling him in time, but time does not exist in the eternal moment, slaking his thirst for souls with her own interior thirst for him. So it is right and proper that we mourn loss Jesus cried. He wept at the death of his friend Lazarus, even though he knew that he was going to resurrect him from the dead. He nonetheless wept, right? So it is okay for us to weep and to cry out to God, but it's to God whom we cry out, and it's with God that we weep. And so I think that your son is being given a beautiful, beautiful path to sanctity and to holiness. God has made a way for him to become a saint, not in spite of his disability, but by way of his disability. Now, this takes heroic virtue, and that's why it's so hard. And I don't think that it was easy for St. Teresa of Calcutta to keep that smile on her face. But that smile was not really a hypocrisy of what was going on, nor a repression of what was going on, nor some kind of a psychological delusion of what was going on. Her smile, though we saw it, was really a smile to God that gave evidence of her fiat to him. Her smile was her yes. I accept this, Lord, and I suffer with you in time. And I draw upon the graces of that eternal moment in which all of the redemptive life is held. I call it down now upon this moment in time and the need of your people in this moment in time. So mixed into this whole beautiful path that God has made available to your son is this opportunity to console the heart of Jesus, to grow in heroic virtue, and to be a tremendous intercessor in the world today. May I say, a suffering soul. May I say, a victim soul. So I would encourage him to prayerfully ask the Lord about that. The Lord is aware of the misery, but that misery can be turned to joy when it's united in such a specific way to the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, I think, friends, that this is the thing, right? This is the stuff of saints. This is the way saints are formed. It's the way that they're shaped. You know, St. Louis de Montfort tells us that our Blessed Mother is a mold, M-O-L-D, and that, you know, when we allow ourselves to be cast into Mary in a certain sense to be poured into her, to make our way to Jesus by way of her maternal beatitude and intercession. We're going to taste the fullness of the passion of our Lord, just as Our Lady did, but we're going to experience it mystically, not to the degree that she did, but in an analogous way, right? So it's an opportunity for us to be those saints of the latter day, some of which will rise taller than the cedars of Lebanon and will surpass even the greatest of saints that currently are in heaven with our Lord. So, golly gee, a whole lot there. We have Marie with us. She is in Williamsville, New York this morning. Station of the Cross is the way that she's with us. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. Janet, I just wanted to remind people that on August 2nd, we have the Feast of the Porciuncula, and we can gain plenary indulgences, confession, communion, and the required prayers. And what's extraordinary about the Porciuncula indulgence is that you can gain it with one confession, one communion, you can gain it as many times, it is written, as many times as you enter the church again. All you need to do is find a Franciscan church. And there, the Portiuncula indulgence is attached to any Franciscan church. And just say the required prayers, the prayers for the Holy Father. You can gain an indulgence for yourself and as many of the souls in purgatory as you are able to repeat the prayers again.
Well, that is wonderful news, Marie, and I do want to draw people's attention to the fact that you can go out there on your search engine, as I have just done, and you can pull up those indulgence prayers. I am on a site of the Diocese of St. Augustine, which happens to be in Florida, by the way, and they have a whole article about this that is out there, so you can go right out there, read all about it, and I encourage you to do it. You know, why not? Why would we not do it, right? And if you don't know if there's a Franciscan parish in or Franciscan church or parish in your diocese, you can probably call your diocesan office and you can find where one is, or if it's not in your diocese, maybe in a neighboring diocese, one will be there. Marie, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for everything that you do. God bless you.
Well, God bless you too. You know, and isn't Holy Mother Church good, right? Isn't she good to give us these opportunities? Isn't she good to encourage us in being part of this great communion of saints for the benefit of those holy souls in purgatory? So I do want to encourage you to get out there to check it out. All kinds of good ways in which we can reap blessings for each other and reap blessings for ourselves. Take advantage of them. Take advantage of them. Those blessings that we reap are the very blessings that help us get through the difficult moments in life. Do you have another call there for us, Jeff?
Hello, this is Caden from the Diocese of Salina. And I was just wondering if you could explain necessarily what a plenary indulgence is and the benefits we gain from it here on earth. Thank you.
Okay. You know, let's talk about a plenary indulgence. And I'm going to go out here and pull up an article so that I can get all of the good stuff there for you. You know, the fact of the matter is indulgences get a bad rap most of the time. And they individuals do not understand exactly what a plenary indulgence is and what a plenary indulgence is all about. But here's a very good article for you. And let me just read this to you right now. A plenary indulgence is a practice. It's an ancient practice of offering indulgences through prayer and penance. And there are certain requirements that you have to fulfill. It's not a quick ticket to heaven, as St. John Paul II once said. Rather, it is an aid for the real conversion that leads to eternal happiness. So as I was telling you, it merits graces for you. It helps us to grow deeply in our faith. Sins are forgiven through the sacrament of penance, but then there is a kind of punishment still due to the sinner. And so what is that? That's the temporal punishment, the residual effect of the sins that we have committed. So the absolution that comes by way of that we gain through a very good confession and a firm purpose of amendment and true repentance for our sin, that sin is gone. But there is a residual effect that stays with us, just like if you get a really bad disease, you know, a really bad sickness. Sometimes there's a weakness that remains even after you're cured of the disease. It's affected the body in some way. Well, sin affects the soul in that way. And a plenary indulgence is one that takes care of that temporal effect. And this article says, temporal punishment remains after forgiveness. And the plenary indulgence helps for us or gains for us the graces to wipe away this residual effect of sin. It is a sign, it's a marking of God's abundant love for us, his abundant mercy for us. He offers it to us through Jesus Christ and through the church that Jesus Christ founded. But what we have to realize and understand too is that we have to be rightly disposed, right? Again, it's not a quick fix. It's not a one-way ticket to heaven. It depends on our turning away from sin and our conversion to God. So there, that firm purpose of amendment, that firm purpose of living a life that is more converted to our Lord has to be in place for this plenary indulgence to have its effect. And so here are the conditions for receiving it. A spirit detached from sin, sacramental confession as soon as possible, Eucharistic communion as soon as possible, prayer for the Holy Father's intentions, being united spiritually through other people, praying for that particular indulgence on that particular day. So I hope that helps you. More information is available for you out there, and you can check it out. I know EWTN.com probably has information for you on a plenary indulgence as well. Well, inviting you to be with us today at 1 p.m. Eastern right there on Women of Grace Television. Women of Grace is a live show today. It's an hour long. Samantha Kelly is our guest. Do want you to check out our website and all of our upcoming events, womenofgrace.com. It's been great being with you. I pray for a happy and holy weekend for you. God bless you now. Bye-bye.